Matthew 28, these are the words of the risen Lord Jesus. 18, Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make what? Disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." So we're starting discipleship. This is discipleship classes, and that's what the Lord commands us to make disciples, not just believers, but to make disciples. The word disciple means to have someone who is progressively learning the Word of God. I'm still learning. And sometimes it's like the more you learn, the less you realize you know. I mean, because God is so big. He's so awesome. But we're progressively learning so that we can mature and grow in the faith. It literally means to be a learner. The word disciple means to be a learner, to be a doer of what they learn. And that's what God needs us to become. So discipleship is about training and developing in the truths of Scripture. So now while we do this, we have to understand this, that there will be conflict. Jan and I went to lunch last Sunday after church. We went with Connie Scott. Most of you know her. She's a minister of the gospel. She's an author. But anyway, we were there and we were all talking. I was having preacher's remorse. And preacher's remorse is where you tell the congregation what you think God is saying to them. Sometimes it's really strong. And you feel really led to do it. And then you feel guilty or you feel afraid that you did it because you don't know how people are going to respond. So I was talking about being on time. And anyway, so I was having this preacher's remorse, and Janice said, "Well, I'm just going to believe you prayed that they're not going to get mad and that God's going to hear the prayer and it's going to be all right." And Connie said something that was interesting. She said, "Well, you know, we should pray that God would offend us." And I knew what she was talking about. We had this little conversation. And because here's the deal. And by the way, you can go along and fill the blanks as we go down. And this is where we're at here. The fourth paragraph. God's word can be offensive because there's conflict between God's way of thinking and ours. No matter how smart we think we are, if our mind is governed by the flesh, we're in opposition to God. Man's tendency is to try to make people feel good while God is interested in getting us the truth. Sometimes the truth hurts, right? And so there's a conflict. Romans 8, I've got it on the outline. There's two translations, the New King James and the NIV. The New King James is first. It says, "The carnal mind," Romans 8, 7, "the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it's not subject to God, nor indeed can be." And the NIV says, "The mind governed by the flesh is hostile towards God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so." So we can see that there's a conflict. And so when we're studying God's word, or you're listening to preaching, or someone's talking to you, and if we get offended, we need to ask ourselves why. And we have to determine, is this real? Is God, you know, and if it's coming out of the Word of God and it offends us, then we need to understand that we're the one who has to change. We live in a world that is trying to change God and to make God into the image that they want Him to be. But what we need to do is to submit to God and let Him be God. And so we go through these classes, and you might hear something that can kind of make, you know, cause you to be offended or mad. I remember when I was coming to salvation, she made me so mad. We're going to read one of the scriptures that made me so mad. But anyway, so let's move on here. Number one, why do we do what we do in life? And we're going to go down through here, and we're not going to just quickly off the top of your head, you can circle some things. Circle the words that describe you. So we're going to go through quickly here. A, what do you think is the biggest driver in your life? In other words, is there a physical or a body drive, financial, emotional, image, or something else? What's your biggest motivator, B? Is it outside pressure, desire, perfection, love, fear, or something else? How do you feel about yourself? Insecure? Fairly secure? Fearful? Hopeful? Or something else? Who or what do you think you get your identity from? So just take a second and you can just jot something down, but we don't have to get real deep into that because when we're done with the lesson, you're going to be able to go back and see what we're talking about. And so let's go to the green tab. Wait a minute, that's wrong. Sorry, I had the wrong page. Go to the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 3. And the study tonight is spirit, soul, and body, by the way. Genesis chapter 3, starting in verse 1, says, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of the tree of every tree of the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.' Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the..." Remember that word, the Lord God? The one powerful, powerful, plural, single God was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, 'Where are you?' He knew, but he just wanted him to answer. So he said, 'I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself.' And he said, 'Who told you that you are naked? Have you eaten from the fruit from the tree of which I command? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you that you should not eat?' Then the man said, 'Well, the woman you gave to me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate.' And the Lord God said to the woman, 'What is this you have done?' And the woman said, 'The serpent deceived me, and I ate.' So the Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, you're cursed more than all the cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I'll put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed, and he'll bruise your head, and you'll bruise his heel.'" Now I'm just going to make a few points because you could do a lot of study in here, but letter A there. Most problems develop in our lives because we're driven or controlled by the wrong things. So you can write that down in your outline. That we see that in this story, right? In verse 1, we can notice how the devil challenges our knowledge of God's word. Has God indeed said? So the devil went to Eve. What has God really said? So the devil questions what you know about God's word. So we need to be solid in his word. Because the devil will challenge what you know and then try to get you off course. Verse 6 and on, but just verse 6 makes this point. It says, "When the woman saw that the tree was good for food and it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate." So the point is that how our emotions and appetites can open the door for us to be led astray. Right? Then verses 9 and 10, you can see in there it said, the Lord God called Adam and he said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid." And then from there on, God's talking, they start blaming. So they're afraid and they cover themselves and then they start blaming. And so fear, blame, and shame are the results of the fallen nature. When they ate of the fruit of sin and death entered in. So when they disobeyed God, sin entered the door. And then notice in verse 15, God speaking to Satan, and he says, "I'll put enmity." Who knows what enmity means? It's warfare. It's that conflict we were talking about earlier. Sometimes God's word makes us mad. Why is it? Because we have the devil's thoughts going on. "But I'll put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed." And so that's talking about, who's it talking about? It's talking about who's her seed? That's Jesus, who would eventually come through Mary, the virgin birth. We put our faith in Jesus, we become his seed. And so there's a conflict. I mean, there's a conflict that's been going on ever since. You know, there's still warfare between those, letter E. There's still warfare between those who have put faith in Jesus and the enemy of our soul. So, I mean, you might have woke up today and had some warfare going on. And so, we need to get a right understanding. I think spirit, soul, and body is so important because it can help us see where we're really, what we're focusing on, what's controlling us, and where we need to focus, okay? So, number three, we need to learn how we're made in this lesson. We're going to do that. We're going to put things in order, and it's going to help to strengthen our lives, okay? So, Genesis 1:26. God said, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness." So, we decided last week in our study that God's a three persons, one God. He's the Trinity. So, he's a three-part being, and we're created in his image. Okay, keep that in your mind. We're created in God's image. He's three-part. Genesis 2:7. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. So there you have the body. And then God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. So God formed man's body out of the dust and then breathed into him the breath of life. Life comes from the spirit. So you have the body, but the body was lifeless until God breathed into his body, and then he became a living being, living soul. So it's the spirit that brought life. Now, go to your orange one in the New Testament. And remember last week how we talked about how the New Testament gives us a clarity? The Old Testament's like that room with a lot of stuff in it, but it's kind of in the dark, it's not well lit, but you turn to the New Testament and you can see things in the light. So 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So man is what? We're a three-part being. We're a three-part being. We're created in his image. God's a triune God. Man is a triune being. Spirit, soul, and body. So, in reflection, if we're controlled by the body and its appetites, we can be led astray. Who's had your body, your flesh? lead you astray. If we're controlled by our emotions, we can miss God's best for our life. What was Eve being controlled by? Her appetites and her emotions. And then, so seeking to let God lead us by our spirit can help us find God's best. So we need to be spirit-led. In reflection, if we're controlled by the body and its appetites, we can be led astray. If we are controlled by our emotions, we can miss God's best for our life. Seeking to let God lead us by our spirit can help us find God's best. So spirit, soul, and body. And each realm of our being has a voice. It's like I get up in the morning and my belly's talking to me. Hello? And then our emotions can talk to us. And so, our soul. Okay, go back to Genesis chapter 2. And let's look at something here. So it's the same now as it was then, right? Man is spirit, soul, and body. Genesis 2, verse 16. Says, the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. So, when Adam and Eve sinned against God, this is 4a, what part of them was affected? Spirit, soul, or body? What's the pat answer? What's the answer that most charismatics will give? Spirit. And it's true. But actually, all three were affected. Spirit, soul, and body. Okay, the spirit man died. We're going to see that here in a minute. The soul had fear, shame, and guilt enter into it. And in, you know, like 1,000 years, Adam was going to die. He wasn't never going to die until he ate that fruit. He was created to live forever. He would have lived forever. But because sin entered in, it affected all three, spirit, soul, and body. And so sin leads to brokenness, and it led them to brokenness, and it can lead us to brokenness. And go back to Romans. Did we have one in the book of Romans? I told you to mark that with spit. Or was that the other? That was a different one. Oh, we have one in Romans, don't we? That's a pink one. Oh, that must be from last week then. Anyway, Romans chapter what did I say? Chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. In verse 12. And if you have a New King James Bible, what's the fourth word in verse 12? It's through. Through one man, sin entered the world, and death through sin, and death spread to all men because all sinned. So through Adam, what happened? So we're talking about, we asked the question, what was affected? Spirit, soul, and body? Well, Adam's spirit died. And he passed on, from then on, he passed on sin and death to his family, and every generation since then has been passing on sin and death. So death spread to all men. Through who? Through Adam. And then you look in verse 18. What's the third word? Through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, so that's Adam, resulting in condemnation. But even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. And see, that's talking about the first Adam. Now, Jesus is called the last Adam. You can find him as the last Adam. Some translations say he's the second Adam, but there's only two Adams. There's the first Adam and the last Adam. When we give our life to Christ, we enter into the last Adam. We enter into Jesus. And when we receive Jesus, Jesus takes away the death and he gives us life. He gives us the gift of righteousness. And so we're changed where? When you give your life to Jesus, where does the change take place? In our spirit man. So, letter B, sin and death came through Adam, righteousness through Jesus, the last Adam. 2 Corinthians, that's to your right. Did we mark that one? I don't think we did, but go to your right. There's Romans, 1 Corinthians, and then 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In verse 17. Second Corinthians, this is one of my favorite scriptures forever. Because I felt it. Back in November of 1985, I gave my heart to Jesus and I was changed. I was a changed man. My body wasn't changed. My mind was changed a little bit, but my spirit was transformed. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is what? A new creation, a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Where does this take place at? It happens in our spirit. When Jesus makes our spirit brand new, there's no hint of our past. There's no hint of death in your spirit when you give your life to Jesus. You have nothing but life in you. It's so cool. So new creation takes place in man's spirit. Now, go to the green tab, Ephesians. And I just really want to encourage you to get this, go take these lessons home, study them, mark your Bibles. Get this stuff into your heart. Memorize these verses. Because this is life. And this is who you are. This is where your identity comes from. Ephesians 2. Now I like the King James or the New King James translation on this. The other newer translations, I think they're weak to me. Because I feel like the King James really says what happened. So Ephesians 2:1 says, you he made alive who were dead in trespass and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. And it goes on, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. We were by what? By nature, children of wrath. You remember those days when you were in darkness? Remember when there was that time where it's like you know, I think hate might be a strong word, but you really didn't like the things of God and you loved the things of the world. But then you gave your life to Jesus and you started loving the things of God and hating the things of the world, there's a change. And that change happens in our spirit when you're born again. But you are made alive through Jesus. Before we received Christ, we were dead to God spiritually because of sin. But once we gave our life to Jesus, we were made alive through Him. So when you give your life to Jesus, you open up your heart, ask Him into your life. A change takes place. And you're made a new creation. You're made alive to God. And now, with that happening, then what we have to do now is see what's controlling you, what's driving you, where do you get your direction from? What causes you to do what you do and live how you live? We need to live out of the Spirit. Okay? That's what we're getting to. To have God's best, this is five. To have God's best, we need to become more Spirit conscious. So we need to set our priorities. So, letter A there, I have a verse written down, Matthew 10:39. It says, whoever finds his lower life will lose it. This is Jesus. Whoever finds his lower life will lose it, the higher life. And whoever loses his lower life, on my account, will find it, the higher life. So there's a higher life, there's a lower life. The lower life is the life of the flesh. It's the life of doing what we want to do. It's the life of us making the decisions. That there's the higher life, which is where we let Jesus rule and reign. And so in finding Jesus, following him, we lose the lower life. But in following the lower life, we lose the higher life. Sometimes we call it, well, I'm going through a valley, or maybe we just need to see if we're walking in the Spirit. But anyway, it's not always the case. You can be up on the mountain in Christ, but still have a valley that you're going through. But anyway, so now go to Romans 12. That's the pink one, I think, is it? Yep. Romans 12, anyway. I hope you have a pink in there. But this is really a powerful verse. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. And he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. Okay, now, that little word, you, that should mean a lot more to you now. Because I beseech you, spirit-born, spirit-minded, alive to God, people. You're different than the rest of the world because they're dead, you're alive. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So here we see, spirit man tells body what to do. Then, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So, we have spirit, body, and now we're in verse 2, and it's soul. We have to, when you're born again, when you become a Christian, God didn't change your body. Amen? You still have the same size nose, same color eyes. He didn't change. I mean, he's been working on your mind, but you still need to work on your mind. We still need to change our thinking. We still have a lot of thoughts that are out of whack. And how does this say that we're going to please God? And how does it say we're going to keep from being worldly by being transformed in by renewing our mind? So we got to get the Word of God into our mind. We have to make our body obey. Okay, so letter B, 5. You refers to our entire being with our spirit man in control. Our body is our earth suit, the vehicle we get around the planet in. Our soul is our mind, will, and emotions, which need to be subject to the Spirit of God and the Word of God. So mind, will, and emotions. How do we make a lot of our decisions? Mind, will, and emotions. Our body. But God wants us to be spirit conscious and just learn how to, who knows what I'm talking about? You can, oh, I shouldn't do that. I mean, it's not like God isn't, I've never heard God's audible voice, but I know he's been talking to me. It's hard to explain. But it's available to us to be spirit-minded. And of course, we can get our mind, we need to get our mind renewed. Get the Word of God. Learn the Word of God. This is more valuable than gold and silver. That's what the psalmist said. His Word is more valuable than gold and silver. Do we really treat it like that? You know what I'm saying? Okay. Now, go to Galatians. Did we have a yellow one in that one? Galatians 5:16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things you wish. So sometimes we let our mind, will, and emotions, or our flesh, our body control us. We don't do what the Spirit of God wants us to do. But there's a conflict, and we're called to walk in the Spirit. But if you don't make a decision to walk in the Spirit, then you're not going to. It's a conscious decision that we have to make. And then we can get used to doing it, but we have to set our mind on doing it. We're going to look at a scripture like that. So, verse 18, if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contention, jealousy, outburst of wrath, selfish ambition, dissension, heresy, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelry, and the like. That means there's more. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, verse 21, notice it says practice. We stumble. We lose our temper. We can slip. We can fall. But it's talking about not, don't practice these things. We all sin. We all stumble. We can miss it. But don't get in the habit of justifying that you miss it and keep living that way, because that's leads to condemnation. So, verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy. This is what we want here. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there's no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So we have to be spirit-minded. We have to be able to recognize, hey, my flesh is pulling on me. I've got warfare going on, or temptations struggle. I'm struggling with temptation, or my emotions are getting out of control, things like that. Ask God, Spirit, for help. Go to His Word. Call somebody that you know is a Christian. Hey, let's pray. I'm struggling here. You know, don't try to do it on your own, but, you know, we don't have to do it on our own, but we're called to walk in the Spirit. Our life will go better. Can you see that? And then to your right, to Colossians, it's Galatians, Ephesians, and then Colossians chapter 3. And there's a few verses here to read. Galatians 3:1. If you found Hebrews or 1 Timothy, you've gone too far. Okay, find it. Colossians chapter 3. If then you were raised with Christ, Now let's just compare our thought with 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man comes to Christ, he's a new creation. If you're a new creation in Christ, we could read it that way. Or in Romans 5:18, if you've been given the gift of righteousness through Jesus Christ, we could read it that way. Seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Okay, you guys. Oh, Colossians, where are you? Okay, go to your right. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and then Colossians. Okay, then chapter 3. It's talking about being raised with Christ. Verse 1, if you're raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. So we're talking about setting our priority. We're seeking the will of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Did you know you already died? When you gave your life to Jesus, you died to the world. That's what baptism is a picture of. And I want to encourage you, if you haven't been water baptized, see, when you were born into this earth, you were born of your mother's water. Now, when you get born of Christ, you are born by the Spirit, but the water is a representation of the new birth. You come out of that water, and what it's a statement of is the first Adam's not my boss anymore. The first Adam isn't where I have my inheritance from. My inheritance is through the last Adam, Jesus. So, and it's a picture of our death with Christ raised to a new life. So we died in Christ to a new and raised to a new life. So, verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you'll also appear with Him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members. Now, that's not talking about your husband or wife. That's talking about the things we've talked about in the flesh. Those things that drag us down. Do you know how to deal with them? Don't feed them. If you want a dog to die, don't feed it, don't water it. So that's kind of what he's talking about here. Put to death your members which are on earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you've put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who's renewed in what? In knowledge, according to the image of him who created him, where there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. See, that's where we need to put our mind, on those things. I mean, looking at those last verses, happy people usually have a happy song in their heart. You know, they're the ones who are whistling around, humming a song or whatever. the grumpy grumblers usually, you know. So we want to be spiritual and keep our mind set on spiritual things. We've got to do things that are lifting, things that are spiritual, and try to downplay the negative. I mean, we can all get caught in the trap of going negative. What we have to do is work on it, mortify the things that put to death those things. Don't feed the things that are negative, that are of the enemy and such. So, and that's how we can put spirit first. It's spirit, soul, and body. Get the knowledge of God into your soul. You can't just live by, oh, I feel good about this. Oh, I feel good about that. And you might feel good about it, and it might be a good thing, but then on the other hand, it might not, too. We want to learn how to connect with God through our spirit so we can at least give Him a chance to help. You know? So, that's what the study is tonight. I hope it helped. Does anybody have a question? Daniel? Yeah. Yeah.
So Satan knows this word.
He does know it, yeah.
You've got to know the right.
And that's where Adam was right there with Eve. Adam actually was supposed to pass along, because God gave him the command before Eve was formed. Adam was supposed to take care of his wife. He was with her. She was tempted. She gave to him. I mean, he's listening to the devil tempt her, and the devil says, and she said, has God said we shall not eat it, nor shall we touch it? And Adam said, whoa, 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 whoa. No, he didn't say don't touch it. He said don't eat it. So he does test our knowledge. So it's important, just put God's word in your heart every day. Listen, when the children of Israel are going through the wilderness, what did God do? He gave them what they needed every day. If we'll keep our heart, we're not talking about overload, but download. Download something from God. Get in a Bible reading plan. Listen to teaching. Read. Ask God to guide you. Look up subjects. If you're most Bibles have, you can look up words, like you can look up fear, you can look up peace, or you can look up strife. And you can go through scriptures that deal with those things, and you can study about them that way. And we get the knowledge of God into our heart, and then it'll help you. If you'll press into Him like this, like we're saying, you're going to find that He'll talk to you right in the situation that you're at. And it's like, wow, I'm not in this alone. And God gets us through. So we've got to put our spirit first. Spirit, soul, and body. And souls. I mean, we need a lot of work in our soul, our mind, will, and emotions. So, and our body, too. My body's been up here. But I just have to ignore it. Because, anyway. But, no thanks. I'm good now that I'm done. So, anybody like to close us with a prayer tonight? Daniel?